Just going to pray for Danny as he comes to me. Father, we just lift up Danny before you, Lord. We thank you for this incredible man of God, Lord. And Lord, we know the word you've placed in his heart, Lord. Lord, as he lays down the vision for us. And I pray, Lord, that he will minister with power, with authority, Lord. And Lord, I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you will lead his heart throughout all of what he has to say. In your mighty name we pray this. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Good morning, church.
Morning.
Morning, all.
Morning.
Good to see you. It's great to be together this morning as God's people. I just want to introduce you. This is John, everybody. John is married to Fiona. They're on eldership in the Isle of Man at Living Hope with Ewan McRae. Ewan and Karen over there, and they're here with us this weekend, just spending some time with us as a family, actually investing in us, helping us actually as parents to improve and to sharpen. So this is loud, eh? You know this doesn't need to be loud. It's up to you. So it's been wonderful having John and Fiona with us. Fiona is with Sarah over in Roffey this morning. And they're heading off to the Netherlands tomorrow, as a number of us are this week. We've got a pastor's equip training time, just some of the lead elders across the European churches for a few days. And then it's a regional equip Friday through to Sunday next week, where there's 350 saints from across European 412 churches gathering together to sit under apostolic teaching, just to join hearts, really, around the purposes of God for planet Earth. And we're part of a global family. Did you know that? That's what 412 is. And this is why we welcome John and Fiona in as brothers and sisters in Christ. We are family, and we invest in one another's lives. So we are so grateful that we're part of something bigger than just this. Yeah. And this is wonderful. This is awesome. Horsham is great. Horsham is our mission field, but it's much bigger than that. If you didn't know, God has given us the nations as our inheritance. And there are a few of you going to the Netherlands this week. I want to encourage every one of you. I want to exhort you. We've got a conference in the Isle of Man in July. Wouldn't it be wonderful to take the whole church?
Yeah.
So I want to encourage you now to start thinking about it, praying about it, saving for it. You've got 6 months. It's a wonderful time. There'll be 1,000 or so saints from across Europe coming together. And it's a time that cannot be missed. Yeah. God does so much in 3 days that could otherwise take 6 months. So if you're not there, you're missing out on what God wants to do in your life and through your life. So I'm going to sow that seed now. Excuse me. I'm struggling with my voice this morning. So, yeah, I have got water. I have got water. Let's jump into Ephesians 4. I want to start here this morning. I am going to be talking about the vision for CLC for 2024. So it's going to be an exciting morning as we just look at what we're feeling as elders for us as a church going into this year. And we're already two-thirds of the way through January, right? So we're already into this year, but we definitely have some things that we're feeling stirred in God for the next 12 months. But I want to start here because God's been doing amazing things amongst us as a people, hasn't he? And if you don't think that's true, then maybe you're hiding under a rock. Maybe you're not here consistently enough. God has been doing wonderful things. And you know, God is in the business of preparing his church as the bride, because we're the bride of Christ. He's preparing us for the return of his son, Jesus. And one day, Jesus will return to planet Earth for a pure and spotless bride, one that is radiant. And that's the church. One of the metaphors, the major metaphors for being God's people is that we are a bride being prepared for a bridegroom. And there's going to be a wedding day. There's going to be a feast. That when Jesus returns, we are going to be united with him once and for all. That is going to be a wonderful day. Who's expectant and excited for that day? So, Jesus is about taking those spots, those wrinkles, those blemishes, those areas of sin in our lives and breaking us free from them so that he can come back for a pure, spotless bride. But let's just have a look at Ephesians 4:11-16, because this is a picture of healthy church. This is something of what being a bride that's being prepared for a bridegroom looks like. Christ gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the people, that's you and me, for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and we become mature. We want to become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of God. Then we'll no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body. That thing of maturity is mentioned 3 times already. Mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. Christ is the head of this body. From him, the whole body, that's us, church, joined to Christ, who is the head, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and it builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is a picture of healthy church. This is a picture of the bride that Jesus is returning for, where we're in apostolic partnership, where we're under the headship of Christ, where every saint is being equipped to fulfill the calling of God upon your life, because God does have things, works already prepared for you to walk in. This is healthy church, growing in unity, growing in maturity, joined together in love. This is what we're giving ourselves to. And we know that passage in Acts 2, 42 to 47 very well, where the early church was birthed by a move of the Holy Spirit. God broke out, the church was birthed, and we see there was devotion in the lives of the saints. They were devoted to one another in brotherly love. They were devoted to the apostolic teaching. They were devoted to fellowship, to prayer. They were filled with awe and wonder about what God was doing. They sold their possessions as there was need, and God added to their number daily those who were being saved. Oh, and they broke bread in one another's homes. That was actually a centerpiece of community, of life around Jesus. This is what we're giving ourselves to in 2024. And actually, I could say nothing else this morning. That is what we're giving ourselves to. It's being devoted to Christ. It's being devoted to one another in brotherly love. And that is the channel through which the kingdom of God comes to planet Earth. That's through you and me, church. That's through us joined together in unity, growing in maturity, all it being equipped to do what we've been called to do in our daily lives and collectively as the people of God. This is a great vision. And this is a picture of health. And do you know what? Healthy things grow, don't they? Yeah. Healthy things grow. Healthy plants grow. Healthy trees grow. Healthy bodies grow. And we want to be healthier because we want to be fruitful, don't we? We want to be fruitful for the kingdom of God. And this is the overarching vision for us going into this year. So we believe that the way we get there, the road that we're going to travel on towards growth and maturity and health is something that the Bible calls discipleship. Turn to someone and say discipleship. Turn to somebody else while I have a drink and say discipleship. So this church, and we can put up that first graphic, please, Vincent, is the vision for 2024. It's disciples making disciples. Did you know we're all called to be disciples who reproduce after our kind, which is disciples? So we're disciples called to make disciples. So God does something in us so that he can do something through us into the lives of others. So this is what 2024 is all about. And you may argue that this is what Christianity is, right? It's discipleship. And I would say, yes, this is it. This is not just about 2024. This is about what it means to be a follower of Jesus, is that we are disciples making disciples. So let's unpack what this means. And we're going to go to Matthew 28, a very familiar passage of scripture. It's the great commission that Jesus gives to his disciples. So this is for you and for me, as much as it was for the 12 and the disciples of Jesus 2,000 years ago. So let's pick up in verse 16 of Matthew 28. The 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, when they saw Jesus, what did they do? They worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the ends of the age. So, I want to give you three dimensions for discipleship this morning. And let's put up that next slide, please. Number one, it's about presence. Number two, it's about transformation. And number three, it's about mission. This is how we want to frame discipleship going forward this year. It's about God's presence. It's about transformation of Christ in us. And it's about the mission of God that we're called to live out. So let's go to Matthew 4, 18 to 19. This is when Jesus called his first disciples. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Fishermen cast nets into the sea to catch fish. Don't you love the detail in Scripture? Just in case you didn't know what fishermen did. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So next slide, please, Vincent. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So, number one, what does it mean to be a disciple who makes disciples? It's about his presence. It's about being with Jesus. Jesus said to his first disciples, follow me. Now, if you're following somebody, you've got to be close to them. You've got to be with them. You know, there was a saying in the day of Jesus, and actually it's still true now in Judaism, about being covered in the dust of your rabbi. Now, back in the day of Jesus, the roads were dusty, the roads were dirty. There was no tarmac, there was no concrete, there was no carpet. It was dusty roads. So if you were to be covered in the dust of your rabbi, that means you were following close behind, because the dust would be kicked up by the rabbi, which Jesus was. He was a teacher, he was a rabbi. You would be covered in the dust of the one you were walking behind. And there's this saying that still exists about, it's actually a blessing to be covered in the dust of your rabbi. We need to be following so close behind Jesus that we're covered in his dust. And this is about being with him. Being with Jesus. And I'm going to unpack this even more. I'm just sort of taking you through the layers here. Transformation then. Come follow me and I will make you, Jesus says. Do you know Jesus is making you? Jesus is making you into something, if you'll allow him. By the way, it's up to you. You can be made or not. He's transforming us into his image. Come follow me and I will make you. It's about becoming like Christ. And lastly, I will make you fishers of men. That's about continuing the work of Jesus of seeing his kingdom come to planet Earth as in heaven. His kingdom come in Horsham as in heaven. His kingdom come into the nations as in heaven. We need to continue the work of Christ in making his name known on planet Earth. Amen? Amen. So, let's go deeper. Number one, presence. I just want to start here because I think this is really important for us. When we read there about the Great Commission, just before Jesus speaks to his disciples, it said that they went to Galilee, as Jesus had instructed them to. And it said, when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. I think this is really important for us to grasp here. They saw him, and their response to seeing Jesus was what? It was the worship. You know, when we see Jesus, our response is to worship. Paul wrote, in view of God's mercy, in view of his grace, in view of his character, in view of God, we offer our lives as living sacrifices. And that is worship, by the way. This thing we do this morning is an aspect of our worship. We're praising the name of Jesus. We're gathering around who he is. But we know worship is about a life lived in wholehearted surrender to Christ, don't we? Yeah. But in order to do that, we need to see him. Because if you see Jesus, the only response is to worship. The only response is to lift up praise. The only response is to bow down. The only response is to serve him with all your heart, to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The only response to seeing Jesus is to give your life fully to him. We see it in Revelation. John, the apostle that Jesus most loved, who walked with him on planet Earth, saw a picture of Jesus as the risen king. Eyes like blazing fire, a double-edged sword coming from his mouth, a robe dipped in blood. He saw this Christ and he bowed down as though dead. That is the response to seeing Jesus. And I wonder this morning if perhaps you didn't worship him because you didn't see him. Because if we saw him, as these words that we sing about, this is about fixing our eyes on Jesus. We sing these songs to get our eyes off circumstances, off flesh and blood, off relational difficulties, towards the one who is worthy. And if we see him, we worship him. And by the way, it's in the context of worship that we bring our doubts. It says they worshipped him, but some doubted. These ones who worshipped and doubted were the ones that Jesus commissioned. So even in your doubts, in your questioning, in your reasoning, even in those moments of disbelief, Jesus will use you nonetheless. But it's in the context of worship that we process these questions. So I want to urge you, I want to encourage you. If you're here with questions around who God is, what my life should be about, some of those things we heard about our identity as children of God, bring them into worship, lift up the name of Jesus, see him, and he will use you mightily in the kingdom of God. Did you see him this morning? And let me just say this. Perhaps you didn't see him because your eyes were distracted. Perhaps you didn't see him because of circumstances. Perhaps you didn't see him because we know the word of God says that the enemy, the devil, will blind the minds of unbelievers. I believe that's also true for us as children of God. The enemy will try and blind you to who Christ is so that you don't worship him. And Lord, I want to pray this morning that if there's anything, if there's a veil, if there is anything which is preventing us from seeing you, that you would bring those things down in Jesus' name. Open our eyes to see you, Jesus, to see Christ, to see you as who you are, so that we can give our lives fully in wholehearted surrender. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm only on point one, and I'm not really on point one yet. When they saw him, they worshipped him. Guys, discipleship is about a person. It's not about a process. It's not about a program of events. It's simply about a person. This is what marks Christianity out from every other religion on the face of the planet. It's not about what you do and don't do. It's not about what you say and don't say. It's not about ritual or dogma or doctrine. It's about a person called Jesus Christ. And by the way, if you find him and you see him, you will live your life differently. You will speak differently. You will act differently. You will love your enemies. You will love your neighbors. But it's Jesus. We do it because we found Christ, because we've seen Christ. Discipleship is about a person. And we can all find him because he's available to each one of us. And I know there was a call to salvation this morning, but if you've never given your heart to Jesus, today is the day of salvation. And what does that mean? You come to Jesus and you say, I want you to be my savior. I want to live my life as you being Lord. I'll follow you. I'll be covered in your dust. So, Jesus rounded off the Great Commission then. He said, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus is with us. Jesus is with us. And we need to be people that orientate around the presence of Jesus. So, what are those spaces this year for God's presence where we can actually be like Jesus? Be with Jesus. Next slide, please, Vincent. Doing a great job. It's not easy following me through these slides and scriptures. So Sunday worship, this is a space where we can be with Jesus, where we can find him, where we can park up and look at him. So this is a primary space on a Sunday morning where we can do that. Connect. For those of you that were at Connect a couple of Tuesdays ago, God really moved powerfully. And this is where, you know, we come together as all our community groups on the first Tuesday of the month to pray. But it's much more than prayer. It's about finding the presence of God. It's about hearing his voice and responding accordingly. And it was such a powerful time of just going deeper in worship, making space for God to speak, making space for us to respond to him, to see the gifts stirred up, to pray for one another, and to petition God, which is asking God for stuff. So, you know, once you've got into that place of God's presence, actually he wants us to ask him for things. He wants us to pray. He wants us to call on his name. Connect. Worship events. So when Living Waters are here, Lyle mentioned it earlier, we're going to have a worship session. And that is about doing this very thing. The presence of God, seeking him, going deeper into his presence. So this is an opportunity in a couple of weeks to actually practice what we're preaching this morning. Who's up for practicing what we preach? Does anyone get a note of those hands that went up? You've got to be here. You've got to be here on that Saturday. Guys, you've got to be here. And you've got to be at Connect. Why? Because we need you. We need you to pray. We need you to encourage others. But you need God. And I need God. We need to come into these spaces to find him. Friday morning prayer. Did you know we pray on a Friday morning? It is on Zoom, but it is still legitimate. God still hears our prayers, even though we're on a video call. So that is a place at 6:30 to come, even if you can do it for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 20. I leave halfway through because I've got a train to catch. But come and pray and meet with the people of God. We've had some powerful mornings on a Friday. You're missing out. Community groups. We want to see our community groups as spaces and places for God to move in power, for God's presence. And if that's not happening, then we've already encouraged community hosts. Make the room. Make the space. It's not just about coming and chatting about Sunday's word or just coming together to have fellowship. All those things are important, but it's about finding God together. So, and in your home, meet with God in your homes. So, that's number one. What's number one about? Excellent. Thank you, all three of you. Shall I preach that again? Presence. Number two, then, it's about transformation. It's about becoming like Jesus. Romans 8:29, those who God foreknew, he also predestined, which means he purposed before time. Before he created anything, God had a purpose, and that was to conform us to the image of his Son. This is God's commitment to us, is that he wants to conform us to the image of his Son, Jesus. So the God of the universe wants to conform you to the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. You know, our goal when we talk about discipleship, it's not to make converts, it's not to make Christians, it's to make disciples. And the doorway is that there is that point of conversion in that. I don't know if this is helpful language or not, but what it means is there's that moment in time where you see Jesus and you give your heart to him. You surrender your life to him. You say, I no longer want to be Lord and master of my own destiny. I want you, Jesus, to call the shots. I want you, Jesus, to be my Lord, my master. And in that moment of salvation, we know that we enter into something that is eternal, which is a restored relationship with the Father of love. And our sins are forgiven through the blood of Christ. So it is about that. That is the doorway. But it's much more than that. It's about living our life, constantly being transformed into the image of Christ. And in the New Testament, there's two main pictures or metaphors for what it means to be the people of God. Number one, in the Greek, is mathetes, which means an apprentice or a disciple of Jesus, or a follower of Jesus. So the dominant language, it's used 268 times in the New Testament, if you're curious. I know some of you are. 268 times, it talks about, as the people of God, we are called to be disciples. This is the prominent picture of being God's people in the New Testament. Second to that is Adelphos, which is about the family of God, that we're brothers and sisters in Christ. We talk about this often. We're not like family, we are family. We're brothers and sisters, joined together in supernatural love. You know, Christian is only used two or three times in the New Testament, and it's usually got a negative connotation without teaching into that. I'm not really supposed to be teaching this morning. It's supposed to be vision, but I can't help myself. I'm passionate about these things. But in order to catch the vision, we need to grasp some fundamental truths around discipleship this morning. There's two categories of people who gathered to Jesus in the New Testament. There was the disciples, and we know he had the 12. And then there were the 72. So there were the disciples, who Jesus really invested in. And then there was the crowd. And the crowd would come in their droves. They would flock to Jesus because there was quite a stir around Jesus when he launched into his public ministry. Because the dead were being raised. The sick were being healed. Eyes were being opened. The lame were being raised up. So there was quite a stir. And actually, there was a stir amongst the religious establishment, but amongst just the community and the nation. Actually, there's something about this man, Jesus. So the crowds would come, they would watch, they would observe, they'd be wowed, and then they'd leave, unchanged, unmoved. Like that, they were entertained. They were entertained by Jesus. The crowds were entertained. There was something here that would arouse curiosity in them. This was a great thing to behold, but they left, their hearts weren't changed. But the disciples, it was very different. Because they were giving themselves fully to the transforming work of Christ in their lives. I just wonder, because there's no middle ground here. You're either a crowd or you're a disciple. It isn't, oh, I'm a Christian. That means nothing. It's about, you're either a follower of Jesus, you're either following Christ, surrendering your life to Christ as a disciple, or you're one of the crowd. You come, you listen, oh, that's nice, slightly entertained. You leave, nothing changes in your life. Your speech doesn't change. Your love, your heart isn't moved. You aren't fully surrendered to Christ. I wonder which category you're in. And Jesus did draw distinctions, by the way, in the Bible. This isn't, oh, we can't say you're in or you're out. No, you're either a disciple following Christ or you're in the crowd. And if you're in the crowd this morning, it's great that you're here. And some of you, you're just exploring faith or Christianity and you've come. There's something happening in you. I want to encourage you this morning to move from the crowd to following Christ. Your life won't be the same. So, Jesus said in Matthew 4, 19 to 20, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And verse 20, it says, immediately they left their nets and they followed him. There's an immediate response to following Christ. And this is a day-to-day thing. It's important to recognize here, the onus of discipleship is upon us. The onus of me following Jesus is on me. My discipleship to Jesus, being transformed by him, is not Lyle's responsibility in my life or Andrew's. It's my responsibility. Your transformation into the image of Christ is in your hands. And by the way, in this context, as the people of God, there's a call to encourage one another. There's a call to walk in the light with one another, to call out sin, to spur one another on to good works. And as elders, there is a responsibility on us to actually point you to Jesus, to point you to following him. But we can't do this for you. I can't do this for you. The leaders in Christian Life Center cannot do this for you. We can help you on the journey. We can point you to Jesus. We can give you handles and pray for you. And believe with you and stand alongside you in our community groups. That's a place where we encourage one another. We spur one another on. We pray for one another's needs. We meet each other in the space that we find ourselves. But you are responsible for your own discipleship to Jesus. As am I. It's on me. And if I'm not following Jesus, please call it out in me. Say, you have missed Jesus. This is what it means to be accountable, actually. You know, accountability is, we often think, being accountable, we talk about this a lot, oh, it's about calling out the sin in one another's life. No, it's about growing in the image of Christ. And by the way, to do that, sometimes we have to take one another aside and say, Lo, you're missing it right now. You've given yourself to lesser things. Danny, you're not loving your wife the way you should. This is what discipleship is. So there's a place where we call that out in one another, but I am responsible for my own followership to Jesus. Are you a follower? How easy do you find it to follow? Because if you find it hard to follow earthly leaders, your parents, government, those in authority, your boss, you'll find it hard to follow Jesus. Jesus will take you into harder places than your boss will. Or us as elders. He will. He said, pick up your cross and follow me. What's that about? You deny everything. You lay down your life. We have no rights as followers of Jesus. Did you know that? We've got no rights. We're dead now. We're dead to our own wants and wishes. We're dead to what we want out of our life. No. They immediately laid down their nets. They picked up their cross and followed Christ. We lay down our nets so that we can pick up our cross. And what is that about? It's about a life of sacrifice. That's about living a life in obedience to God. The cross was an indication of the obedience of Christ. Jesus had to go to the cross to die. We don't go to a physical cross. Maybe you will. Maybe you will be persecuted for your faith. Maybe God will take you somewhere on the face of this planet. At some point, you will be martyred for your faith. It's a reality. We live in that day and age. But picking up the cross is about living in obedience to Christ, living a life of sacrifice. Okay, so it's on all of us. You got that? Whoever wants to be my disciple, Matthew 16:24, must deny themselves, pick up their cross and follow me. Here's the key. Whoever wants to be my disciple, do you want it? How much do you desire it? Because if you desire it, you'll throw down your net, you'll pick up your cross and you'll follow him. If you don't want it, you won't do this. So it's really about desire. The proof of desire is in pursuit. So if you want to pursue him, you've got to want it. You've got to deny it to the point of, you've got to desire it to the point of denial. Now there's the test. Are you willing to deny all else? Yeah. It's a test of your desire. So the responsibility is on us. You with me? Yeah. Take a deep breath. Discipleship doesn't end with me in my world having a party for one. We're also called to be disciples who make disciples. And that's what Jesus says. We want to bring others on this journey. We want to bring others on this journey of following Jesus. And Jesus mentioned a couple of things in the Great Commission when he was talking about discipling others. He said that we are to baptize them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we're to teach them all that to obey all that he commanded. So just quickly, baptizing and teaching. And then we're going to go to point three. Baptizing. So this is about more than water baptism. Now it is that, but it's much more than that. Because we know that once you give your heart to Jesus, there is a call of obedience to actually be baptized in water. It's full immersion. You go all the way under, you come all the way back. And in that moment, you're actually identifying with Christ. As you go under the water, it's as though you're being buried with him. Your old way of life is buried with Christ. And you come up out of the water as a brand new person, resurrected with Christ. It's a new life in him. You put your old ways behind you, your old way of life, and you come into a new life where God starts to change your heart and regenerate your heart. And he does that through his Holy Spirit. And that is discipleship, where we're being transformed into the image of Christ from day to day. So that is water baptism. That's a part of it. But this picture is about being baptized as disciples into the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we're called to be fully immersed, saturated, marinated, pickled in God. Who wants to be marinated in God? Who wants to be pickled in God? Which means you are completely saturated in him, immersed in him. He is in you. And there's this picture of baptism into the Father as his sons, a picture of the baptism into the Son as his servants, and a picture of the baptism into the Holy Spirit as his sent ones. This is what discipleship is. Finding a new identity in Christ. It's a brand new identity. And with God as our Father, we are his sons. We heard about that this morning. As the Son Jesus, we are now his servants. And as the Holy Spirit, we are now his sent ones. Full immersion. And the second part of this is teaching. Jesus said, teach people to observe. We're in a crisis of biblical authority right now. We have been for many years. There isn't a high view of the Bible. We know in this world, there isn't a high view of the Bible. And we're called as the people of God to stand on the word and actually to live the word of God. It's about more than teaching and listening and reading. It's about living out what the scriptures teach. isn't it? And we need to be a people who obey the words of Jesus. We need to be a people who practice the habits of Jesus, who imitate Jesus. When we see Jesus in the scriptures, practicing the Sabbath, and he did, practicing silence and solitude, where he withdrew to be with the Father, where he was given to prayer and fasting, where he met in community. Jesus lived in community. All of those things, we need to imitate Christ. That's part of our obedience to the teaching of Jesus, is that we imitate the way he lived. We imitate his character. We do what Jesus said. We need to be transformed to think, to love, and to act like Jesus. So what are the spaces for this? And then we're going to hit mission. So next slide, please, Vincent. What are the spaces for transformation in 2024? Again, community groups. It's a space where we're transformed into the image of Christ. How? By encouraging one another. How? By exposing cracks and weaknesses and those blind spots in one another's lives. Accountability. We've really been encouraging everyone in the church to be walking in two or three intentional relationships where you're opening your lives up to one another. By the way, this isn't optional for discipleship to Jesus. It's all over the New Testament. It's all over the scriptures. Even in James, it talks about if you're sick, asking for prayer. And actually, it talks about finding healing in the light. It talks about walking in the light. Walking in the light is about showing your blind side, your blind spots. You know, even over the last few days, one of the reasons we invited John and Fiona to come and spend time with us is we recognize there's some cracks in our parenting. And so there's some blind spots. There's some things which we knew were out of kilter, and we wanted them to come in with fresh eyes and to give us a perspective on our parenting. This is what accountability is. It's actually walking in the light. You know, it's only in the light, and it's difficult there. It's difficult in the light because you get called out on those things that you're not doing well. I like to do things well. I like to do things right. It's part of my personality. I want to know if I start an endeavor, it's going to go well. But that's not the way it works out. In the kingdom, you know, it's often messy. Sometimes, even in these contexts, it's messy. Following the Holy Spirit can be messy. We don't always do it right. We're not always obedient. And there's things in our lives that slip and slide. And we have to be in relationships where people can say, you've missed it in this. You've missed it in your parenting. You're missing it in your marriage. You're missing it in your devotion to Christ. God has given us one another to help be transformed into the image of Christ. So if you're not doing that, you've missed the whole dimension of transformation. I can't overemphasize this. We're talking about having questions that we can ask one another to expose where we're truly at. Let's stop pretending we've got it all together. Not one person in this room has it all together, unless you're Jesus. And I can't see Jesus sitting on any seat in this place. Jesus is in us, but he's conforming us to his image, which, by the way, is a lifelong pursuit. Community groups. Accountability. Community groups. Are you devoted? Community groups are... Community is the primary context where discipleship happens. So if you're not in a community group, you're missing out on all of this. I don't think I need to labour it anymore. So men's and ladies' ministries, that we're continuing that this year. Again, there's spaces for transformation, to sit under the word of God, to grow together. And there is going to be, ladies, wait for this, a weekend away for you. And there's been some very strongly expressed opinions that it's not to be camping. Like strongly expressed opinions. And as elders, you know, we're compassionate and we're gracious. So you're going camping, ladies. Okay? Come on. You pick up your cross. Discipleship to Jesus, that road is rough. And so is that camping field. I imagine it would be a weekend of pampering. There you go. I know it divides opinion. Okay, so equip times, Netherlands are coming. It's a time of equipping. Youth and Lighthouse, we want to see our youth and our children transformed into the image of Christ, don't we? Yeah. I'll ask that again.
Yes, we
Don't we want to see our youth and our children transformed into the image of Christ? Yes. Growing in his nature, learning what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And we continue to invest in our young people and our children and in your home. So, lastly, mission. This is about continuing Jesus' kingdom work on planet Earth. John 14, 12, Jesus says, truly, truly, not truly, but truly, truly, like this is really true, okay? You really got to pay attention here. Double emphasis. I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these he will do, because I'm going to the Father. What he's saying, very quickly, he was going back to be with the Father. He sent his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit now dwells in the hearts of every believer, every follower of Jesus, which means his work on planet Earth can be multiplied, can be exponential. No longer is it through one man, Jesus Christ. It's now through every one of us and every follower of Jesus on the place of the earth, on the planet. Luke 9, 1 to 2, Jesus called the 12 together and he gave them power and authority over demons to cure disease. He sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal. This is our mission, church. It's to take the kingdom of God out wherever God has placed us. That command that starts there, go and make disciples. By the way, the command isn't go, it's make disciples. That is the command. But he said, go, in your going. That's actually how you translate that. It's in your going, make disciples of all nations. Make disciples. So we have in our going, which means in your daily life, look for opportunities to share Christ. We're on mission from day to day, aren't we? We're a people on mission from in whatever spheres of influence God has placed us. And actually, this kingdom of God business is about loving. It's about praying for the sick. It's about talking about the gospel. It's about seeing people delivered. This is an amazing call and commission that Christ has given us. And that's for you all. That's for us all. So, go. I want to talk about all nations and then we're wrapping up. Because he says, go and make disciples of all nations. Psalm 2:8. Ask me and I will make the nations your inheritance, the ends of earth your possession. And in Acts 1:8, Jesus, when he was saying to his disciples, go and wait in Jerusalem, he says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So it's the Holy Spirit that empowers us to live our lives on mission. And that's a great encouragement to us, isn't it? Part of the role of the Holy Spirit in our life is to help us and enable us to live our life on mission, to be kingdom ambassadors. And you know, we need a much bigger vision. We need a much bigger vision of the kingdom. As I've already said this morning, it is about Horsham, but it's about England. It's about the UK. It's about the nations. It's about every continent on planet Earth. And this is why it's such a beautiful thing to be a part of 412. That we're in a global family. We're joined together in love with one heart, one mind, one purpose. It's to see the Church of Jesus Christ healthy and flourishing so that the gospel can be proclaimed to every people group on the face of this planet. We're joined together with that one vision. And the nations are our inheritance. You know, it's so wonderful to see. I think across both our congregations, we've got 15 or 16 nations, which is wonderful. We want to see more. And so this thing about making disciples of all nations is about seeing nations come here and amongst us and join to this family. It's also about going out, going to the Netherlands this week, going to the Isle of Man in July, going to Brazil. There's opportunities to go to Brazil and parts of Africa. We're going to take a couple of teams out this year. There's a church that's just being planted in Manchester now. And I'd love for us to take a team up there to help them on their journey. And there'll be other opportunities to go. We've sent teams to Gran Canaria, to Switzerland, other places, to London. So we're a part of something much bigger. The nations are our inheritance. So what are those spaces for mission and then we land? What are those mission-orientated things we've got going on? Toddler group in here. There's lots of activity going on in here through the course of the week. Community cafe. Conversation cafe. So we continue with those. Their mission, their opportunities to throw out the net. Rofi Fairs. We've had a number of people come come through and into the life of church and get saved because we've had those quarterly events. Alpha, we want to run Alpha again. It was wonderful meeting in the Star Pub in Rothley at the back end of last year, running Alpha there. Street evangelism, we want to get out on the streets. 412 trips, as I said, and in your going. Lastly, I just want to say this around vision. We want to put an increasing focus and emphasis on developing our current leaders and on raising up new leaders. And you know, as we have an expectation, and we're seeing it, for growth, but we need leaders in place to facilitate growth. We need more community hosts. We need more deacons to help carry the load. We need more elders. We need more church planters. We're going to reach a place here where this is, there's no room. And that's a wonderful thing. So what do? We need to be thinking about what is the next thing in God? What is the next church plant? What is the next community host? And we need leadership for that. So we want to put a big emphasis on developing our current leaders, on our deacons, our community hosts, really investing there, really see them flourish in the role and responsibility that's been delegated to them. And we want to see more leaders raised up. Some of you are here this morning and there's leadership on your life and you're not living into it. So I want to encourage you to live a life worthy of the calling of God that is upon you. And when Paul writes about the spiritual gifts, he says, if your gift is to lead, we've all been given spiritual gifts, it's up to the Holy Spirit who gets what gift, by the way. I'm standing up here, not because I asked for it, it's because the Holy Spirit said, right, you're going to preach. Okay, I didn't want this, but I'm obedient, I take hold of the gift given to me, and I will live my life worthy of this calling. But for some of you, and Paul wrote, if your gift is to lead, then do it diligently or do it with zeal. Some of you need to step into that space of leadership with zeal. You're under the radar, or maybe you are leading and you aren't zealous. You're not living into it diligently. We need leadership to be raised up in the life of this church. Why? Because we are seeing growth. So I think all our community groups need to multiply. We need leaders in place for that. So I want to stir you up this morning. Well, I'm believing that God's going to stir your heart. Let's stand. Isn't this an exciting vision, church? Come on, La. We're going to take the nations. I want to ask you just to lift your hands this morning. I don't know what God has spoken into. I'm trusting that there is something where you felt, oh man, the Holy Spirit is speaking to me in that area this morning. I just want to ask you, just where you stand, just say a simple yes, Lord, to that. Whatever that thing God is asking you to do, or perhaps whatever that thing is God is asking you to lay down. In fact, let me frame it this way. What are the nets God is asking you to lay down? And what is the cross he is asking you to pick up this morning? And just where you stand, I just want you just to give your heart to Jesus in this moment and to say, Lord, I hear what you're saying. I'm sensing you talking into this area. And God, I surrender to that this morning. I surrender to you. Father God, we want to be a people that are growing in the image of Christ, being transformed by you. We want to be a people of your presence. We want to be a people who are so close to you that we're following behind you wherever you take us. We want to prioritize your presence and intimacy with you. And Lord, we want to be a people that are obedient to the call to go. In our going to make disciples, whether that's our neighbors or whether that's into the nations, we want to say yes. We want to be an obedient people to this great commission. This great commission that has been given to every one of us as disciples of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, in these endeavors. Thank you for your Holy Spirit enabling us, empowering us, leading us, guiding us, filling us afresh in all these things. And we just surrender to you this morning. We surrender to those things, Lord, that you want to realign in our hearts, adjust in our thinking, change in the way we're living our lives as followers of Jesus. And God, we say a wholehearted yes. We say a wholehearted yes. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we're gonna end this here. It's just a simple call to obedience this morning, church. But the thing which defines those disciples responding to Jesus and the call to follow him was a wholehearted yes. There's no other prerequisite, church. It's not about how long you've known Jesus. It's not about the degree that you have or don't. It doesn't matter whether you're educated or not educated. It doesn't matter whether you're male or female. It doesn't matter where you come from or where you're going or where you find yourself right now. The only thing that we need to do to enter into this discipleship to Jesus is give a wholehearted yes. That's it. So do you give a wholehearted yes?
Yes.
And I'd say, brilliant. We're going to take this up a notch. I did this last week. I just felt stirred by the Spirit to do this. And I actually feel the same this morning. I feel this is it. If we get this, then actually God can use us in ways that we didn't know possible this year. And he will bring us on this journey of discipleship. Yeah. I want us to give a wholehearted yes this morning. I want us to vocalize it. I want us to verbalize it. You might want to shout it. You might want to dance it. You might want to scream it from the rafters, the rooftops. I don't know how you want to do it. But I want you to give a wholehearted yes this morning. And for some of us, maybe this is just, I don't feel it. You know, often in the kingdom, it's not about how you feel. It's actually you walk in obedience. You say yes. And then the feeling that the heart, that follows. Yeah. Usually the heart follows an act of obedience. That's why agape love is the prominent love in the New Testament. It's a love of the will. It's a love of choice. It's a love of decision. It's not touchy-feely kind of love. And we like that too. Some of us are geared that way more than others. I'm a willful kind of love guy. And I have to work hard at the touchy-feely kind of stuff. Ask my wife. I have to work hard at that. We bring balance. But anyway, I'm not trying to teach now. Man, I could teach all day long. I'm so sorry. We are landing this. A wholehearted yes. That's what I'm saying. It's an act of the will. Let's decide this morning. Wholehearted yes, Jesus. Take us on this journey this year and beyond. So I'm going to count to three. And you make a decision right now how you're going to respond. But I want you to give a wholehearted yes. You might need to overcome the flesh this morning. Because the flesh and the spirit are at odds. Just going to throw that one out. Okay? On the count of three. One. Two, three.
Yes!
I'm feeling it. That was the practice round. We're going to have one more bite at this. Why not? Why not? You know, God takes the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. We look like fools. So be it. We're fools for Christ. And I'm okay with that. So on the count of three, let's give it one more wholehearted yes. And then I think we're landing. Yeah. Okay. On the count of three. One, two, three.
Yes!
Amen. Amen. Let's give God a round of applause. And I'm not going to add anything. I'm not going to say anything. Let's have some coffee and fellowship together. Wasn't that amazing, though? Are you guys excited? I mean, this is going to be an incredible year. We're going to trust God for more church plants, for more of everything. It just goes back to what I feel what John shared in the prayer meeting was sometimes our expectation is a small, oh, God, I'll be happy for this. And yet he's got a truckload. And I feel this vision is all that God wants to see us walk into. Amen. Let's have fellowship.